Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. We're in John chapter 5. And beginning in verse 1 there. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been there, an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learnt that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Let's start beginning with a prayer together. Dear God, we just want to thank you just for being here today. Thank you for the fellowship, just the unity that we can share. Father, we're here because of you. The sacrifice your son made, as Brandon mentioned, his communion, Father, just the whole idea that, you gave your best. You know, you gave perfection to us. That was always your plan. We appreciate that, Father. We thank you for that sacrifice. Father, as we look at this example today, help us to learn from it. Help us to grow from it, Father. Help us to change from it. Be with me, Father. Help my message to be clear. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, this is, I've read this text many times, and this is one of these texts you look at and you go, there's so much kind of going on here. You know, can you read it for what it is? But it's an interesting text. It's an amazing text in a lot of ways. You know, I don't know what stands out to you, but you know, what stands out to me is that classic statement that Jesus makes to the man, which is, "Do you want to get well?" And if I was to say something to you today, that's what I would say to you. Do you want to get well? You know, do you want to be different? Or do you like things as they are? You know, what is going on? There's so much going on here. There's the physical, because it highlights the physical. It highlights the fact that he was an invalid. So he couldn't help himself. He needed help. And it highlights that. But usually with physical things, there's always so much more going on. There's the spiritual. There's the emotional. There's the mental. There's all those things as well. And I dare say in our lives, as much as we may not be invalid from a physical perspective, but at times we become invalid in other ways in our lives, which stop us from becoming the people that God wants us to be. You know, I have, Ford was gracious enough to, we've got some little photos for you here. Not photos, but just an idea of what it looked like, an artist impression, and what they think it looked like. So I'll put it on lecture. So, is that it there? Yep. So that's the artist impression of what was going on. You got that? You like that?
Yeah.
Are you happy? It's obviously a spa pool. There's a lot of bubbles there. So they had spas back there. There's another one. And then this one is here where they think it may... That's the actual potential ruins there of what it might have been like. So, you like that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Use the pictures. Now I'm going to show you a picture of me. No. I'll just get rid of it. Can we go back to full lighting? Right. Can we take that off, Floyd?
Yeah.
Because otherwise people just look at it the whole time. And that's what people do. You know, I don't know what does stand out. As I said, that stand out comment is, do you want to get well? You know, do you want to change? Do you like your situation? You can imagine this is what's going on with this guy. You know, do you have vision for your life? Have you lost vision for your life? Have you given up? You know, what's holding you back? What's stopping you? Why has it taken so long for you to figure this out? 38 years. You know, it's interesting to me because Jesus finds out, there's some things that are interesting to me about this is that Jesus finds out about the guy. And I love this, there's so many things, but there's this personal touch. Jesus there, he's gone to this feast, there are, who knows, thousands, hundreds of people there. And he inquires about this guy. You could argue, did Jesus even need to inquire? Did he just know himself? But it says he found out that this guy had been there. And when he found out he'd been there so long, he took concern. He had concern. That personal touch. I love that. And I want to remind us of that. This is a personal thing. With God, it's personal. It's not that we're just part of the crowd. You know, I mean, like, oh, he just sees this big crowd. He seeks this one man out and gives him the personal touch. And I want to encourage you that God wants to personally touch your life. That if he sees you not doing well, maybe stuck in a situation, believe it or not, he's trying to reach out to you as well. And I say that because I think this guy may have struggled with the whole idea of, you know, being by himself and no one really cared, and sometimes we get that way, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. I've got a couple of points today that I want to look at. First point is, well, or the well. Trying to be a bit cryptic. Well, or the well. You know, and you can imagine, the well for me is the well of what? Well, probably where this guy was. Potentially the well of despair. I mean, what would it have been like to be an invalid for that long and not being able to figure this out? I think, you know, surely you could have figured this out. Now, the text says, if you go back to your Bibles, and I deliberately didn't read this, because this has been omitted out of our Bibles, but it was there in other manuscripts. So verse 4 is not there in your Bible, but it's there as a footnote in your Bible. And it says, for verse 4, from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. Now you could argue, you sit here and discuss, you know, well, why was that omitted? You know, why? You know, some manuscripts did and some didn't, how that all works. Let's not talk about that. The point is, that was written as that was happening. The thing for me though, is the fact that Jesus comes up to the man and says, do you want to get well, may just hint at the fact that that was going on. That Jesus expected the guy to be able to get well from what was going on. And possibly at times people before him had gotten well. And I think to myself, after 38 years, couldn't you have at least figured out to sit yourself on the edge? I don't know if you could work out the visits. Maybe there was a time frame between each angel's visit. I don't know how all that worked. But maybe you could have worked it out. Sat on the edge. When it got stirred, fall in. Should you just fall in? Why does it have to be always someone else that needs to help you? Couldn't you just go on, seriously, just sit on the edge. Here he comes. Poof. That's it. You're going to be healed, so you're not going to drown.
Yeah.
Say again. Yes, that would be unfortunate. I didn't think of that. So Sam Percy said, unless you mistime it. So in other words, if someone beats you to it, and you're not the first and you're second, then you're toast. Then you are going to drown. And that would be very unfortunate. So maybe he was calculating enough and figured, I can't take this chance, so better off staying an invalid. I don't know. It's funny how we do that. That's another point, actually, because we do that in our lives. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I think that sort of stuff. I think surely, as I've read this text, surely you could figure this out. Well, what was going on? You know, what was going on? You know, maybe he didn't want to change. You know, maybe he got to the point in his life where it's like, you know, he was actually comfortable with where he was at. Maybe he was happy with the whole idea. Maybe he had people looking after him, being an invalid. And, you know, sometimes that's the way it was. You know, people would beg and they got their living from begging. If they were going to get cured, all of a sudden now, begging was off the table. And now they had to do something with their lives. So maybe it was easier just to stay where he was. Maybe it just got too difficult. Just lost hope, faith, just gave up. Just literally gave up. Thought, well, this is as good as it gets. Good as it gets. You know, I don't know, the Bible says, and I was going to make this a whole point, but I've just decided to mention it here. You know, Jesus says when he finds him later, he says, "See, you are well again, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Which that gives you insight in itself, right? Jesus says the connection to what was going on with this guy was simply sin. And what was his sin? What sin does an invalid have? And obviously sins of the heart. You know, maybe he lied. You know, Jesus comes up to him and says, "Hey, listen, I've got no one to help me in. No one to help me in." Maybe laziness, maybe blame shifting. It's always amazing to me when it comes to issues in our lives and why at times we are where we are and we stay where we are, is because it's always someone else's problem. It's amazing to me how a lot of our issues are sin related or it's somebody else. Most of our issues are to do with somebody else. Think about it. Think about the issues you have. What bothers you the most? What gets up your goat more than anything else? It's probably somebody else. Some other human being on this planet has done something to you that puts you in this sort of state. For this guy, he's saying the reason I'm not healed is I've got nobody to help me. If only somebody would help me. You ever got that way? You ever had that way? Because I think for us, and obviously we need to apply this to our lives. We know this guy, he was an invalid. Jesus says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. And of course the question for us is, do you want to get well? You know, what's holding you back? Because we get this way. You know, we have these issues. We have emotional. We have spiritual. We have these issues in our lives. Character issues. And it gets to the point where maybe we just get stuck and the question has to be asked, do you want to change? Do you want to be different? Or maybe you think it's better just to stay where you are. You know, the challenge for us is to deal with whatever holds us back. What's making you an invalid in your life? Have you just gotten comfortable with your life? It's just comfortable. It's easy just to stay where I am. You know, I was sharing this with someone the other day, I can't remember who it was, and somebody, who was it the other day, who said, how are you doing? Oh, that's right, I had a coffee with Vasily, Natalie's husband yesterday, we had a coffee together. And Vasily said to me, he said, so how are you doing, Mike? How's your life going? That's an interesting question. Now, how's your life going? Okay, time to talk. And I said, well, I'll tell you, Vasily, the big challenge for me, the big thing I think about a lot, is I don't want to get comfortable. I don't want to become an invalid in my own mind with regards to just simply liking the status quo. Because I've got a pretty good life. In a lot of ways. I'm busy, I'm serving God, I'm doing all those things. But I can get comfortable in that. I can get comfortable in that. And I don't want to be comfortable. I'm not happy being comfortable. And what I get fearful of is that I'll lose my edge. That I'll lose that passion. That I'll lose that desire to do great things for God. Yep. I talk about a drop in the bucket. And I want to keep dreaming that we're going to do great things for God. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get to the MCG one day. I just want to have an impact. I'm tired of kind of just, we're okay, we're there, thereabouts. I don't want that for my life. I want to be on the edge. I want to be sacrificing. I want to be radical for God. One of my biggest fears is just simply being comfortable, the status quo, being happy just rocking up the church, doing my little thing, ticking my little box. That's not the life God has planned for me. And anything else for me, I feel like I'm an invalid. Yeah. And it's subtle. These things are subtle, folks. We don't get it at times. I mean, this guy justified himself being there for 38 years. Jesus comes along and says, man, do you want to change? Did anybody ever ask him that question? Maybe plenty of people did. But I think we need that question asked of us. Do you want to be different? Are you happy with where you're at? Do you have a vision for your life? So it seems like maybe you're just settling that this is as good as it gets. And I don't want that to be the case for me. You know, maybe you got to the point like this guy where you started blaming other people. Maybe you do that too. It's easy to do that. No one really cares. No one believes in me. You ever thought that before? And here's one I can think of, believe it or not. No one notices me. You ever felt that? You ever felt like you go unnoticed? No one's really seeing what I'm doing. No one's really encouraging me for who I am. And you can get that way. We play these little mind games. I mean, seriously, 38 years, you know, this guy's got all this stuff going through his brain. And we do the same thing. And what is it for you? What is it for you? You know, I remember Karen showed me once that, you know, there's this saying, I've got this saying, there's a bit of truth to it, pressure is resistance to flow. You might wonder what that means. High blood pressure, that's right. There's a doctor there. Pressure is resistance to flow. You know, here's an interesting point. It takes more effort to stay the same than to change.
That's true.
We put more effort into not changing than changing. We actually put a lot of effort into staying, keeping the status quo as it is. Instead of going with the flow. And you know what that's like, right? When you change, when you decide to change, the freedom that comes from that. When you say, you know what? I'm going to give my life over. Yeah, I'm going to be whatever God wants me to. I'm going to start making these changes. I'm going to start changing whatever it is. Be more loving. Be more giving. Be more serving. Drawing closer to God. It's amazing how life starts to free up a little bit. But when you resist that, when you resist that which you know to be true, the pressure's on and that's more effort.
That's right.
It's actually more effort at that point. Think about it. Doesn't come quickly, that thought. But just think about it. You know, I think God gives us the opportunity to change. And the challenge, like he said to this guy, do you want to get well? And what is it? What's the question to ask ourselves is, what's holding you back?
Yeah.
What's made you a bit of an invalid? Is it some sin? I don't know. What's stopping you from being the people? What's stopping you from being the person that God wants you to be? My next point.
Come on.
I was thinking about this one. I had three little points. Are you being stirred? Bit of a pun on are you being served? Wade in the water, or when the waters are being stirred. Whichever one you want, you can have. You can go wade in the water if you like. You know, I like this whole idea. I like this whole idea that the Bible says that when even he says it, that the text doesn't put in the angel bit, but does put in the whole idea that he says, but you know, when the water is stirred, someone else goes down ahead of me. And you know, the whole idea about the stirring of the water is an interesting point. You know, and I think for me what comes out with that is the whole idea that, you know, I think God stirs the waters in our lives. There's waters being stirred that gives us an opportunity to change and be healed. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 for a second. Acts 17. Are you there? And this is Paul in Athens. And he says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. Sorry, does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." You know, this pool was physically there that people could jump in once the water was stirred and to be healed. And I think in a metaphoric sense that God stirs things in our lives, puts us in positions where we can change, where we can be healed. And here the Bible says that God determines exact places where men should live. And I've heard many interpretations on this verse. I'm just going to say it as it is. That he determines where you are. You're here at a particular point. So if you're here today, there's a chance you need to be that God wants to say something to you. And this is all part of the stirring of the water that you have an opportunity to jump into. And so I would say to you, if you're here today for the first time, welcome. But you know what? I want to encourage you to study the Bible. And if you've been here for a while, and you're kind of like been here, then those waters, and the thing what we have today that this guy didn't have, it wasn't just a bubbling spa that was always bubbling that you could jump into. It was from time to time. Whereas here we have the opportunity where God is always stirring those waters. Those waters don't just stir from time to time. And sometimes I wonder with my life, how many opportunities have I missed? When those waters have been stirred, when God's tried to get my attention so my life can change. And what is it for you? Because God does stir those waters. What do you do when those waters are stirred? Because generally, if you take those opportunities, when you know God's knocking on your door to change, that's when you change. You know, Fetzer and Ildi here, over there, moved from Budapest. And Fetzer got the idea that he needed to move. He needed to get out of Budapest. So he got a hold of me and we started Skyping. We had a few Skypes and I'll be honest, and I haven't said I was going to share this by the way, but Ildi wasn't that fired up about it. So I had to make her some promises. Like red carpet promises. And I threw the apples in there as well, so they were part of the red carpet promise. But you know, when talking to Fetzer as to why he came here, he said, you know, we need to get out. My life needed to change. My family needed to change. My marriage needed to change. And it wasn't happening there. You know, I believe honestly, Fetzer just responded to the call, the stirring of the water, if you like. And he took the opportunity. And if you talk to him now, he doesn't regret at all the decision they made. Even Ildi, she misses Budapest. Budapest is a beautiful city. She misses her mum and stuff. But I know I can say this confidently, that they're very happy being here because things have changed. And I think, seriously, like I said, they just responded to that calling, to that stirring of the waters. And I think some of us need to stir, we need to respond as well to those stirring of the waters. You know, some of us here, I think, you know, you're holding on to something. I'll guarantee you, there are people in this room, you're holding on to something. There's something you're not talking about. It may be some sin, some brother here, whatever, something's going on. And some of us here need to talk. Need to get open. The water's stirring. And we're going there and we're saying, you know, oh yeah, should I, shouldn't I? You know, I wish somebody would ask me. You know, no one's there to help me in. Why doesn't somebody notice me? Why doesn't someone come and ask me the question? Why doesn't someone come and help me? If I can't they notice that I'm sad, I'm unhappy? Why doesn't somebody notice? Why doesn't somebody help? And it gets that way. It's kind of funny, we want someone to come and talk to us, but then we don't want someone to come and talk to us. Give me that position? We want to talk, but then we don't want to talk. Is the way that goes. We want the help. I want to get in, but I just need someone to help me in. It's simply the way it goes. I mean, Jesus doesn't even buy into it. Goes to him afterwards and says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. That's a whole new theological question right there. I believe it. I believe there's consequences for the way we live our lives. And things do happen when we don't do the right thing. That's for sure. But what is it? Now, maybe things aren't right at home. The water's stirring, folks. Marriage isn't good. Unresolved. And we think, you know, it'll be fine. We'll get there. Get there. I could go on, you know, we'll be right, she'll get there. Our children, we're the same with our kids. Oh, they'll be fine, we'll be right, we've got time. Seriously. 38 years! You know, one of my second points was, time flies! My first point was going to be time flies. I was trying to make it work. So I bagged it. So I put it as a little point now. Time flies, people. 38 years. You saw that guy 38 years. 38 years as a Jesus? Someone knew it was 38 years. I don't know who knew it was 38 years. Someone's keeping counting this guy's life from the know it was 38 years. 38 years. You think you got time? You don't have time. Don't think it's just going to get better by itself.
That's right.
She'll be right. Yeah, my marriage will get there. We'll get there. Well, just next year. How many people have next year I'll change. Yeah, next year we'll fall in. Next year. I've heard people say it. Once I do this, once I do that, tomorrow, I've just got to do this first. I've got to do that first. How many people sit down, I'll change, I'll become a disciple. Some of you probably think, I'll study the Bible. You know what? Yeah, I do need to get open. Yeah, I'm holding on to some sin in my life. But tomorrow, next week. The water's stirring now.
That's right.
Right now. Right now is the time to get in to that water and get healed and get changed. As much as I say that, some of you are going to sit here, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're going to sit there and you're going to think, I've got time. And I just hope you don't go to the grave with that. Because I don't know what state your heart would be at the end. And that's the fact. You know, we always think it'll be alright. I'm sure he must have said the same thing. He thought, I'll get there one day. I'll get there one day. I'll get in the pool one day. It'll happen one day. 38 years. Don't let it take 38 years. Don't let it take 1 year. Don't let it take 1 day. Don't let it take 1 hour. Whatever it is, the question is, I can't make you change. I can't make anything happen. That's what I know. One thing I've realised in my life and what I do, I can't make anything happen. I'm powerless. The only one that can is God. So my appeal to you is, God gives us the opportunity to truly get well. He gives us the opportunity to change. He gives us the opportunity not to be invalids in our hearts, in our minds, with our lives, in our marriages, but to walk freely, to walk powerfully, to walk confidently. That's what God gives us the ability to do. And all we need to do is get in those waters. When the water's stirred, get in and get healed. And to God be the glory. Amen. Amen.